So welcome to the first of the instruction periods. We're going to launch straight into the instructions from the Anapanasati Sutta, the Sutta on mindfulness with breathing, or mindfulness of breathing. In this section, the first section is mindfulness of the body, so breath and body. What we do, of course, is we take the breath as an anchor, as a way of being in contact with the body. The second foundation of mindfulness, of course, is mindfulness of feelings, vedana, the feeling tone of each sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and thought. The third foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of mind states or mental formations. That includes our ideas, our concepts, our views, our opinions, our thoughts. Mindfulness of the citta, it also includes our movement of heart, the way we meet the world. And in the fourth section, in this particular sutta, there's some wonderful reflections on mindfulness of the Dharma. And those reflections are contemplations on impermanence, contemplations on the fading away of desires in particular, a contemplation on the ending of things, and of course, the all-important reflection and contemplation on relinquishment, letting go of all that we hold to. So the four foundations are just the same in this sutta as they are in the Satipatthana Sutta, the sutta that most of you will be familiar with. And this very first section is almost identical to the Satipatthana Sutta. So in it, there's nothing particularly new, I think. But the way that I like to do the instructions is in quite an interactive way. So over the days, I will be asking you to set the intention to take up the instruction for a few minutes, and then I'll ask you what you directly experienced. And in this way, together, we can really discover and flesh out, if you like, or work out what it is, or the wisdom from the sutta, what it is that we can know and understand. So from the direct experience, of course, comes the insight and the depth of wisdom. So without saying much more, I'll just begin with the first instruction. Glasses and this thing might be somewhat difficult. Okay. Oh, one more thing. There's a particular way in the sutta that we are instructed to approach all of the different exercises. And there are, in each section, there are four couplets with very specific instructions. And so there are 16 couplets altogether that we'll be focusing on over the course of the retreat. And the instruction for all of them goes like this. In the text it says, one abides contemplating the body as a body. So not the body as my body, but the body as a body. Ardent. So ardent means with enthusiasm. It means that in our practice, we approach what we're doing with enthusiasm. So enthusiastically, please. Not, oh no, another 45-minute sitting. How will I get through it? When will the bell go? But rather, bringing energy to the practice. The next part of the instruction is mindfully, fully aware. So we bring as much awareness and mindfulness as we can to our practice. We set that intention and we endeavor to practice with that energy, mindfulness, and awareness. the next part of the instruction goes, we put away covetousness. Now, covetousness is an English word that almost nobody knows the meaning of. And so don't be upset if you don't either. But it means the desire to possess. If we covet something from another, it means we want what they have or we want to possess something. So we're asked to put away that tendency of mind that wants to possess, that wants to have, wants to make mine, to put that aside when we're practicing. And the second thing we're asked to put aside is our grief for the world. And grief in this sense doesn't mean that we put aside our sorrow or put aside our capacity to meet the world and to respond to the loss that we inevitably experience. But it means we put aside our angst, we put aside our tendency to be angry about the world. So we settle into the meditation, having, for the moment, put aside our tendency to want, to possess, and our anger about the world. That could be a big ask here right now. But they're the instructions, so I'm just passing them on. So let's just begin. Now, the first two instructions in this section we can actually do together because it's very simple. It's breathing in long. One understands I breathe in long. Breathing out long. One understands I breathe out long. So all we have to do is just notice if the breath is long. And the next instruction, of course, is breathing in short. One understands one's breathing in short. Breathing out short. One understands one breathes short. So we're just checking, is the breath long or short? As simple as that. And it's a way, it's crackling. Yes? Shall we try something else? I'm sorry about the crackling. Can you hear now at the back? Thank you. So we're simply looking and checking in to see if the breath is long or short. There isn't anything complicated about this. It's simply a way of connecting to the actuality of breathing, and we use the breath to connect with the body. So please, let's do it. I'll say the intention. You don't have to repeat it over and over in your mind. You simply need to do it, if you would, please. So breathing in, one understands the breath is long or short. Breathing out, one understands the breath is long or short. So if you would please, just bringing your attention back to the room. So did you notice? Could you check in and notice whether it's long or short? It has to be the easiest question for the whole retreat. Anybody? Did you notice? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. 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 Ah. Yes. So then you see the tendency of mind to lean towards the future and to anticipate. Interesting. You see, from just a small thing, we can touch into a habit that most of us have of looking towards the future and not being completely and utterly here and now with the present sensation that's going on. Yes. 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 So this is the mind of measurement, isn't it? We measure, we evaluate, and yes, they're asking us to measure now, but it's just the beginning. It's just to check in. And of course, ultimately, we're aiming to sit with the immeasurable nature of mind, but it is, we are being asked to compare. But simply, we understand what's going on. Understand, comprehend. Can we have a translation of comprehend? Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, yes, it can. It can. The mental, he said, the long or short is a mental label, and it can take one from the direct experience. This is true, but what labeling does for most people, and there's many techniques, of course, coming out of Burma where there's labeling, is it makes us notice initially what's going on. We check in, and so it can be very helpful initially, but ultimately you can sit without the label. The instruction is just the instruction, not the meditation itself. So if you can sit with direct attention to the breath, really being with it, you don't have to bother whether it's long or short. But if your mind is wandering all over the place and you can't even remember that you are breathing or that you're here in the hall meditating, then that's a different story. You check in with what's happening. One more. Anyone else? Yes. 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 And what we are invited to do is just to let the breath be as it is. We can shift and control the breath, but right now we're just being asked to let the breath be as it is and to notice whether it's long or short. They're just the first instructions. There's much more to discover about the breath. And, of course, I know you've all meditated before, so you're really aware of all the subtle sensations that can come with the breath and how exquisitely beautiful simply breathing can be. So that's what we're coming to now. The next instruction is about just experiencing the whole body of breath. Now, some translations for this instruction say we're breathing in, experiencing the whole body. but some very notable translators translated as the Pali as the whole body of breath. So what I like to do is just pay attention to the entire breath as we breathe in and as we breathe out. You'll notice, of course, that there's a still point where we're neither breathing in nor out. And this particular point can be a point where we realize the connection between stillness and motion. It can open out into wonderful silence, or it can be a point where we lose focus and concentration altogether. So the point, just as the breath turns, we're neither breathing in nor out. So sometimes it's actually helpful to note that, still moment, that moment of transition. So breathing in, following the path of the breath with all of the sensations that we feel. We'll feel the touch of the breath in the lungs, perhaps the expansion. And for those of you who can feel the more subtle sensations, we feel the effect of the breath on the whole body. And then there's this wonderful still point, and then there's the turning of the breath and the exhalation. And again, it's as if the movement of the breath ceases and sits in a vast stillness. And then if we just wait, there's the caress of the breath as it comes back in. Now, in terms of attention, please make the quality of the attention very light and fine and tender, as if the breath is a caress and we just wait for it to come to us, as if the breath were breathing us rather than we were controlling the breath. The I thought lands on I'm in control and I can adjust the type of breath, or I can make it long or short, or sometimes the breath feels rather uneven, or the in-breath seems longer than the out. These are all things that you may notice as you are breathing. So again, let's just set the intention and then just do it. So breathing in, experiencing the whole of the breath, breathing out, experiencing the whole of the breath. So could you follow the entire path of the breath all the way in and all the way out? And if so, what did you discover? Direct experience. Anybody care to report? Yes. Okay. He said highly distractible right now. So the thought world, what sort of thoughts did you have? Give us a hint. Yes. So you started thinking about home and children and wondering. Yes. Responsibilities. Here I am just sitting here in the meditation hall instead being responsible for my family. So the I, the sense of self, lands in the thought world. And we start reflecting or evaluating or commenting upon what's going on. Or we're distracted with thoughts, yes. Yes? Okay. Okay, so there was an exquisiteness about it, a beauty about it. With the airy quality, was there a sense of what? What else would you say? Yes. Okay. Beautiful. So you see, in just a few minutes, we can tune in to very pleasurable sense of the breath, and we can let go of control, and the breath is just breathing us. Because, of course, the breath doesn't belong just to me. I mean, the breath is everywhere in the room, and the air is coming into the lungs and out. If we just shift our perception from the personal, we see what's happening in the room as quite different. We generally look from a self-centered perspective. And part of what the meditation practice does is it releases us from the self-view, from the self-centered view. I am at the center of things and I am the one breathing. So the simplicity of the practice is extraordinary. And then we can start to see what the implications of the experience are. Anybody else? Yes. 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 So when we really pay attention, at first it often feels rather awkward. And we can wonder if we're going to breathe enough. And sometimes we have the view, there won't be enough for me. There won't be enough air for me. And of course, that little one-line sentence can impact us in all other areas of life where sometimes we think there won't be quite enough for us. There won't be enough love. There won't be enough money. There won't be enough of whatever for me. So there can be an initial kind of awkwardness or a self-consciousness. But then when we just relax and settle into it, we can see the cessation of that thought. We can see that thought of not enough settles and comes to an end. Yes. 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 So sometimes we can just feel gratitude for the breath itself. And relief. Oh, it feels like a blessing. And sometimes I say, if you don't think breathing is beautiful, just stop for a while and see what happens. So with the breath comes extraordinarily pleasant sensations when we tune in. And the pleasant sensations carry with them a real beauty to enliven us. And it's an extraordinary experience. We can settle rather quickly into stillness and into silence if we're just steady with what's happening. So not holding to any notion of how it should be, but rather being with the direct perception of the breath itself. So sometimes there's a lot of thinking about what's happening. So we get into analyzing and interpreting. The instructions for mindfulness are to be totally with the breath, to be so close to the breath, intimate with the breath itself. And when we're like this, there's a beauty and a gratitude that comes, just as you said. Let's go on to the next instruction. This is the fast track here. We're just spending a few minutes on each instruction, but then it's up to you to take up some of the instructions and practice in the sessions of sitting. And the way we do this is to take up just one instruction, so not to leap from one to the next or do 3 minutes of that and go, oh no, that one's not working, I think I'll try the next one or a different one, or I'll go back to my old technique, or I'll do something else. The invitation is for you to decide to take up one of the instructions for a sitting and then really patiently and consistently work with it. So the next instruction that's on offer in this section is breathing in, calming the body, breathing out, calming or tranquilizing, but calming the body. So we are using the breath to bring about calm in the whole body. So we'll feel the touch of the breath. We feel it as a kind of blessed caress, if you like. And then we feel all the beautiful sensations that run through the body, the turning of the breath, and the exhalation. And we track and follow the whole thing, but we allow or we get a sense of the breath calming the whole body. So the instruction is breathing in, calming the body, breathing out, calming the body. Did anybody have a direct experience of calmness, even for a moment? Yes? Okay. Beautiful. Okay, so sometimes it just takes that utter commitment to doing it without any kind of resistance whatsoever. And then the body that was painful 3 minutes ago suddenly isn't. Sometimes there's a psychological aspect to the pain. We know that we've added psychological qualities if when the bell goes, the pain suddenly vanishes. Then we know the agitation was actually not of the body, but of the mind. So we add to the actuality of our direct experience with our thoughts and ideas. So with this instruction, you are very committed to doing it. That's the key. That's what brings release. Well done. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 So you are more contracted on the in breath. Yes. Okay. So what does that tell you? Yes. Okay. Yes. So there's the presence or absence of any kind of contraction or agitation. Now the out-breath is a kind of easier way to feel calm and relaxed. It's the easiest letting go we'll probably ever do. We just breathe out and we just let go of the air that's in our lungs. It's a very simple way to practice relinquishment, actually, to let go. Now, on the in-breath, we might notice there's a little more tension. A little bit, yeah. So, but if we're really still in the posture and really steady, what we find is the breath just comes of its own accord. So instead of working for it, that is actually the contraction that you're talking about. That's the effort. Instead of working for it, just simply let the breath come. The breath has come for every single person on every single retreat that I've ever taught. It has not stopped, okay? So we don't have any agitation about the next breath or when it will come or how it will come. But we just wait in stillness, relaxation, and then, there it is. This beautiful kind of, I call it a caress, it's a kind of touch of the breath through the body. And then it takes the effort out of it. Because sometimes, initially, we have a little bit too much effort on the in-breath. But wonderful that you felt the relaxation on the out-breath and that you also had incredible steadiness to whether there was contraction or the absence of contraction. That's equanimity. So also well done. Sometimes we'll have pleasant sensations in the body, sometimes unpleasant sensations. And just as you said, they are as they are. And we can be still and unwavering and steady with that. So you see, in one small thing, there's lots of things we can understand. In just a 3-minute meditation, it can tell us something about how we perhaps relate to life, relate to the world. Anyone else? Yes. You weren't able to relax. So what happened? Yes. Oh, so this is unusual, I think. When the attention goes to the mind, so how did you feel relaxed with the mind? Please tell us. We all need to know this. Yes. Oh, yes. Say more. Yes. Okay, so what you're talking about is a shift not to the mind of thoughts or analysis or interpretation, but a shift to our capacity of mind to be aware. Yes. So when we really rest in the awareness, and we're not so caught up in what's being revealed by the awareness, then we touch into the unification of the mind, the samadhi, this capacity we have for the to realize the indivisible nature of things, in fact. Ah, okay. At this point, it doesn't really matter, is all I can say. So if you can rest into awareness itself, and this resting is unified and broad and focused, and there's a great sense of aliveness through the body, this is meditation. And if we're resting there, what we will notice is that the awareness reveals the breath. It might reveal the sound. It might reveal how we can feel the cushion beneath us, or the touch of one hand on the other. So just being awake, aware, alert, with direct experience. Wonderful. One more. Anybody else? Yes. Deb. Yes. 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 Beautiful. Not big breaths, so. So breathing, a sense of calm. Beautiful. So if we can access a sense of calm in 3 minutes, it tells us we can know peace. It tells us we can live with peace. That would be transformative, would it not? So there's wisdom that comes even from the small experiences that we have. And there's also this beautiful sensitivity that Deb described of the back feeling really rested and then the front slightly agitated and then the sensitivity to the breath and the knowing that we can rest in awareness where the problematic ceases. The difficulties we encounter cease, they're absent. So this is what comes from the simplicity of breathing. So please, perhaps later tonight, if you still have energy to practice, or tomorrow, just take up some of the instructions and play a little, experiment a little, see into them, and rest into this vast sense of awareness that we can touch. The awareness that reveals all that's happening. And when we rest there without clinging to that which is being revealed, so when we don't cling to the sensation, the desire, the thought, the idea, or we don't cling to measuring or evaluating or wanting our experience to be otherwise, when we don't cling to any of that, we know peace. We know our capacity of mind and heart to just be with life in a really alive, extraordinary, delightful, free way. So these are the initial instructions on mindfulness of the breath and body. It's helpful at the beginning of the sitting just to tune in to how the body is sitting. We'll talk a little more about posture tomorrow, but just the touch of the body on the cushion, or the feet on the floor if you're sitting on a chair, or if you're leaning on something, the feel on your back or one hand on another. So we touch in like that. And then just as you close your eyes and start to sit, sometimes if you're very distracted, it can help to have a soft focus and very gently close your eyes and set the intention to be with the breath, and then just do it and enjoy the process. See what happens, see what's revealed, and each breath is ever new and fresh. The experience may not be like you had on the last retreat, so please drop all ideas and just see for yourself what it will be like, what it is like right now. That's our task. And now I'm going to give some walking meditation instructions, but I'd like to take this off. Okay, walking. I will show you. What we need is just a few meters. And so with the walking instructions, please just begin with attention to the feet and attention to all of the sensations that occur as you walk. So you are feeling each footfall. Every time that our foot reaches the floor, you feel the foot peeling off the floor. You feel it moving through the air, like so. So it's direct attention to the sensations in the feet. Now, once you can do that, you then extend the awareness to the whole body. Okay, here I go. Flipping over my pants. Okay. So, whole body. And we're just looking down in front of us. And then we get to the end and we might stand a moment. And then gently turn. And we walk back and forth and back and forth. Now, the walking meditation is an extraordinary practice because it's a way of feeling or knowing directly our interconnected nature. When we walk, it's rather easy to feel that we're walking on this earth of ours, that we are part of the totality of all things. In fact, it's pretty hard to miss that. Yet often we live as if that's not the case. So when we walk, what you notice is there's a very easy way to feel connected with all things. And sometimes the boundary between inner and outer ceases. We feel that we are just walking. We feel that we're part of organic life. The walker, the one who is walking, falls away. So when we just walk, the construction of I am walking can cease and we can just be walking. There is just walking. So it's just walking, going nowhere. That's a challenge for most of us, not doing anything. So we're letting go of doing. We're letting go of the self-construct. And then we're touching in to being with the whole of life. And as you walk, what you'll notice is that there's an extraordinary sensitivity that comes. You'll start to see things you've not seen before. You will notice, I'll answer you in a moment. Sorry? You can't hear? Okay. There's an extraordinary sensitivity that comes. You will notice things you've not seen before. Flowers, plants, you will notice things about your own mind. If you're feeling impatient, there is no way you can miss it. So sometimes people get rather agitated in the walking meditation and think, what am I doing this for? I'm just walking up and down. This is where we need to use our intelligence and we rest into the knowing of the walking. So we come to the awareness of just walking and all the sensations that come about. It's a beautiful and extraordinary practice. It is not secondary to the sitting. It is a practice that's wonderful if you have a foggy mind, if you need to order your mind and focus, because with every footfall, you are present. So if you are a deluded type who doesn't see very clearly, walking meditation's for you. Lots of it. Because it cuts through dullness. It cuts through not being connected to life. It cuts through inattention. That's why I love it so much. So please enjoy the practice. There's extraordinary joy in walking. There's extraordinary joy in just standing. When we are just totally with life, without wanting it to be a particular way, but we're just with it as it is, as it's come to be, right here and now. So please enjoy the walking, approach it with enthusiasm. You can see I love it. It is, it's an absolutely brilliant practice for clear seeing and developing samadhi and attention. A few years ago, quite a few years ago now, I was teaching on the French Yatra, a pilgrimage, a walk that was 2 weeks long. There were 200 of us and we camped together and we walked during the day, silent walking. I tell you, I would get up in the morning, I would put one foot on the ground outside my tent and blissful feelings would rush through my body. So the samadhi that you can develop in just walking, just the touch of your foot on the ground is quite extraordinary. So please enjoy. Please discover for yourself what a wonder it is to walk and how often we spend our time walking, but most of the time we're walking, we're just thinking. We're thinking about life, thinking about this and that and the other, and we're not present. So please practice the walking and I'd love to hear, and we'll hear in the groups, what you discover when you walk. So thank you. That's all from me tonight. Really, please apply yourself. See if you can let any resistance drop away. Try the new if you haven't done instructions quite like this before, and then just see what happens. See what comes forth. Thank you. Walking meditation now.